I want to invite you, please, to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 is our text. Indeed, next Lord's Day, we will conclude our study of 2 Corinthians. I apologize if you were expecting that this morning. That was my original intent early in the week, but I thought it would be good on Mother's Day this morning just to take a break on the Lord's Day. Communion Day as well. We'll think about the Lord's table this morning, and we'll prepare for the Lord's table in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I want to ask you to turn there with me. And let's begin this morning by reading Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Indeed, happy Mother's Day this morning. I believe the value of Mother's Day is to remember, to reflect upon, to give thanks to God for our own mothers in the church. We would never want to discriminate. We would never want to make someone uncomfortable who's not yet a mother or a mother. And I believe the day is a universal day where all of us are involved in being grateful, being thankful to God. Praise God for the mothers who brought us into this world. And indeed, for all of the moms that you would bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of Christ. Praise God. Let us read this morning. Just a brief digression today in Luke chapter 10. I thought it would be good as we prepare for the Lord's table. There's one big point that comes out of this passage, and it's a tremendous point. Let's read together Luke chapter 10, the very familiar story of Mary, Martha, and the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Bow your heads, let's pray. Dear God, please bless the reading of your word. We come humbly. We come as sinners on the Lord's Day, on Communion Sunday. We confess our sins, dear God. They're great. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We are the chief of sinners, dear God, and we come as such. We come humble and broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise, and we come as such. And I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would do the grand, glorious work of exalting Jesus Christ. Speak to us today, dear God, through this passage, the big point, the big message before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I chose this passage, this little digression in Luke chapter 10 this morning, because it really doesn't matter if you're a mother or a father or a teenager. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you happen to be on the other side of the spectrum. This is a passage that really speaks to every single person here this morning. And it tackles an age-old problem. It deals with an issue that all of us, every single person here, struggles with. It's the issue of getting caught up, immersed in, entangled in, entwined in what is very trivial, earthly, and passing away. While at the very same time, the eternal, the spiritual, is neglected. Does that sound familiar? Am I the only one who struggles with that? That is a problem for us as professing believers. It's a problem for pastors. It's a problem for Christian workers. It's a problem for lay people. And it's a problem in this context as well for our precious Mary and Martha. We get so wrapped up in what we have before us today. We get so wrapped up in the task, in the job. We get so wrapped up, we get so entangled in the duty that is before us, and these can be very good things as well, that sometimes what is most important is neglected. Look at verses 38 and 39. We're introduced to, and I realize all of us, for the most part, are very biblically literate this morning. And you know this is the parallel passage of John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We'll save that for another day. We'll just concentrate on Mary and Martha today by way of digression. But in verses 38 and 39, look at it with me. We're introduced to Mary and Martha, two sisters. And you remember their brother was indeed Lazarus. What's interesting about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, one could argue convincingly, and I hold this view, and you don't want to be dogmatic about this, but I do hold this view that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus perhaps are Jesus' closest friends on the face of the earth, the people he enjoyed being around, friends. And so it is. In this context, Lazarus, Jesus' good friend, had just died. And rather than coming to heal his friend, Jesus allowed him to die so he could exhibit a greater power, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And most good Bible students believe in this context that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are very, very close to Jesus. And that adds a note of interest to this context. And I want you to notice with me that Jesus is coming to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in this context, you have a big dinner. You have food, you have drink, you have a table setting. You have Jesus coming. This is company. By this time, Jesus was well known in the region. He was healing that whole area. He was speaking words of supernatural wisdom. And you have Jesus coming over to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And the contrast here is painted very powerfully in Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 39. Mary was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Stop right there. Look at that with me in your Bible. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Mary certainly was the younger sister. Martha was probably the older sister. Mary is seated at the Lord's feet listening to him speak. She was not concerned with the food, the table setting, the drink, the dishes. She knows that listening to our precious Lord and Savior is something that is great for her soul. She understands spiritual food, spiritual bread is infinitely more important than physical food, physical bread. And so she's getting lost in this encounter, this meeting with Jesus. Jesus speaks to her spiritual words. And the application of this is glorious, isn't it? We all know the temptation of being distracted by things that are really not all that important when God's Word is waiting for us, when Jesus is waiting for us, when the Holy Spirit is waiting to speak to us. And in Christian circles and churches, we see this, we live this. The Word of God is being given out. God is, in a supernatural way, giving the Word of God the word of life to people as a means of grace. And indeed, in the corporate setting, in the corporate context of the church, there is that supernatural element that God speaks to everyone, different levels, believers, dare we say unbelievers, the mature, the immature, men, women, young people. God is speaking to people through His Word. The word of life, salvation, sanctification, encouragement, reproof, rebuke, exhortation, guiding, directing. And so often we come into the body when the word of God is being brought to bear on our lives, and there's something that is preventing us from really, really pausing, grasping, listening intently, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to our precious Savior speak to me words that I need to hear. My favorite illustration of this is, and this is an original, not original with your pastor this morning, but my favorite illustration of this, every old Baptist pastor of a small church uses this illustration in the story of Mary and Martha, about how they have these potlucks in the Baptist churches, in the small ones anyway. At least they used to. I don't know if they do this anymore, but you can hear this illustration in 100 sermons. And the pastor, bless his heart, is prepared, and he's preaching the word, and it's a Sunday, and it's potluck Sunday, and then one of the visitors came and said, "Well, you know, don't you have any ladies in your church?" And he said, "Well, we have a lot of them, but they're all in the kitchen preparing for the potluck." I mean, I can't even imagine that happening, but that's an old illustration. You've heard that. That the preparation of food, and that's a good thing, we know that. That needs to be done, that's a good thing, there's nothing wrong with that. That'll be a blessing to many people. But that's an illustration that's been used through the years related to this passage of Mary and Martha. How tragic is that? And I praise God that we have a potluck every month, and no one has ever thought it's more important to go in that kitchen and shut the door and slice the ham rather than listening to real spiritual food. Praise God, we've never had that problem, so I can give that illustration with great integrity. Look at verse 40 with me. I love this. The contrast of this passage is seen in verse 40. Martha was distracted. It's a tremendous word here in the context. It's the ancient word, it's the Greek word in the Koine for dragging something, carrying something around that's heavy, and it's difficult to hold on to, and the person had to be moving from point A to point B traveling, but they had to carry this thing with them. It's the word distracted. I love it. It's so descriptive. You ever go through an airport and someone has the bag and the carry-on bag and the shoulder bag and, you know, the little baby dog in the purse, and they're trying to go through the airport and catch a connection, and they're moving from point A to point B, and then the carry-on falls off and there's just this big turmoil, and I'm thinking, I'm glad I'm not that person. And it's the Greek word distracted. I love it. It's descriptive. And it's this picture of Martha, bless her soul, the older sister. She's distracted with much serving. And serving is a great thing. It's a glorious thing. And what happens? Well, she gets frustrated. Look at verse 40. Lord, I mean, this is a sister thing. Lord, do not care that my younger sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Anyone have a younger sister? You're like, I used to do that all the time. Jesus, tell Mary to get off and help me. I just love this passage. I love how the Bible paints sinners, real people. I mean, we're not yet glorified. Have you noticed that? And so it is with Mary and Martha. And Jesus gives this glorious, timeless answer. I just find this so edifying. Because you don't realize this, but pastors, we can be guilty of this. Our life is diakonios. It is serving. That's what we do. And if the phone isn't ringing, it'll be ringing soon for you to do something for someone. And we're serving. And you know what that's like. We have a room full of servants here who are in ministry, serving God. Many, many of you, if not all of us, at some level have served God. And you can get so busy serving that you forget what matters. I love this. Verse 41, the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things." You can hear the tone. You can hear the tone of Jesus' voice. We just studied this last Thursday in Proverbs chapter 15. A gentle word prevents wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. You can hear that gentle tone of voice in verse 41. But the key of this, to unlock the one big point of this passage, is verse 42. Look at it with me. "But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I don't know if it's been a while since you've looked at that. That's powerful. Verse 42. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The good part is very simple. It's a concentrated focus on God's Word. A concentrated focus. It's leaving the baggage, the stuff, things that I can't hold and carry effectively, and just putting them down when the Word of God is brought to bear in my life, whether it's in my reading at home, my meditation at home, my study, my quiet time, when I come into the Lord's house and I know someone has prepared and the Word of God will be brought to bear in a real way as a means of grace. I take all of that baggage and stuff and the carry-on and the puppy and the trivial pursuit and I take it and I leave it outside, I set it down outside, and I come in and I have a full concentration on what God would say to me. The note in my study Bible is wonderful. Listen to this. It's the attitude of worship and meditation, listening with an open mind and heart to what God says to me in His Word. I love it. Tremendous. Tremendous passage. And it applies to every single person here. Every single person in this room. Because we have all been tempted to put the dishes and the table setting and the plates and the meal ahead. And I'm using all of that metaphorically, ahead of what really matters. Spending time at the feet of God, listening to God speak to me. How might we apply this as we prepare now for the Lord's Supper, as we transition into the Lord's Supper? Be a Mary. And this isn't a license to neglect your home, ladies, or neglect the responsibilities that we have. That's not what this is about. We know, we're mature enough to know that. But be a Mary in this context. Be focused more on God, what God is saying. Try not to be distracted by the trivial in your life. And pray that God would give you that focus, that concentration, that attention, so that you would be alert, receptive, listening, convicted, encouraged, led, directed. Because I promise, if you are more of a Martha when it comes to the reception of God's Word, there are many, many things that God would say to you that you might miss. And I don't want to miss when God has something to say to me. I don't want you to miss when God has something to say to you. Be a Mary. Be focused. Put the baggage down. Listen at the feet of Jesus to the words of life. Before you come into the place of the Word, say, God, I'm humbling myself. I'm busy today. I have this and that and the other thing, and they're pressing upon me. God, would you allow me to be centered, to be focused? I want to hear you speak to me, God. I want to be a worshiper as I listen to you, God, speak to me through your Word. And I want to be directed. I want to be encouraged. I want to be convicted. I want you to uncover my blind spots. I want you to be leading me. I want you to be guiding me. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Let's follow the example of Mary today. Let's choose the good part together. Let's pray. Dear God, as we prepare for the Lord's table, as we think about this great passage, this great meeting, I do pray that we would learn lessons from these precious sisters, from Mary and Martha, and that we would learn this lesson, that we would not be worried and bothered about so many things, because only one thing is necessary. And I pray, dear God, that we would choose to be unmoved, unshaken, and we would choose the good part, knowing that this will not be taken from us, as the Word of God lives and abides forever. Even as all things will pass away, the Word of God abides forever. We pray, dear God, together for spiritual fruit, for salvation, for sanctification. We pray for the glory of the Son. And as we dismiss, as we prepare for the Lord's table now, dear God, I pray that we would partake in a manner that is worthy, that is pleasing. And even as we have listened this morning, it would prepare us to partake in a way that is pleasing to you, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We transition into the Lord's table.